Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hi, folks. Good to be with you. As we near the end of January, we can look back and reflect on our time together, where we have focused on a couple of main themes as a church. One has been prayer. We pray. We must be a people of prayer as we follow Jesus and we're enlivened by his Holy Spirit. And the other has been service. We've shared many opportunities to serve. We've highlighted the importance of the attitude of service. We've talked about our coming Celebrate Serving brunch. And today, that culminates with a really special opportunity to hear from three people on our pastoral team on their reflections of service from their own lives, from scripture, and what we feel that means for our church today. We think that prayer and service is pretty darn important. These are non-negotiables as people of Jesus. So to talk about these sorts of topics at the beginning of a new year is absolutely necessary. Might even say that today hearing from three voices on the topic of service amplifies it. Not just one person sharing, but three people sharing. So we're really excited today to get to hear from more people on our pastoral team. We're going to hear from Kyle, we're going to hear from Benson, and we're going to hear from Rebecca. And the encouragement today is to listen closely to what the Spirit is saying through the scriptures, what the Spirit is saying through our unique stories and voices as we all together as a team, as a family, aim to serve in the way of Jesus together. And we're going to begin now from hearing these three folks on our team. What a blessing for us to experience that today.
Thanks for joining us today. I'm excited to have this opportunity to share with you. Jesus introduced the principle of serving throughout the gospel accounts of his ministry. And even though his entire earthly ministry lent itself to this principle of serving others, there's one moment in the Gospel of John that still makes me uncomfortable with Jesus' invitation. It rubs against the hard edge of selfishness in my heart. And it's the story found in John 13. We read, "Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus replied, 'You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand.' 'No,' said Peter, 'you shall never wash my feet.' Jesus replied, 'Unless I wash you, you have no part with me.'" Too often, I think we're a lot like Peter, and we misunderstand what Jesus models for us through this interaction. He wasn't demanding that his disciples pick up a towel. He wasn't asking them to become servants in position. He invited them to challenge their perspective on how power, position, and purpose are used. And perhaps even more so, he invited the disciples to receive this beautiful gift of partnership in the new kingdom. My invitation to receive Jesus' gift of partnership occurred on a missions trip to Eastern Ukraine. I had signed up expecting to lead worship, to do some preaching, and to serve at eyeglass clinics. When we got there, a family asked us to help them. They wanted us to help them plant corn. And I grew up in southern Alberta. I wasn't a stranger to farming. I grew up helping friends with their chores on their family farms. But none of that had prepared me for planting an entire field of corn by hand. After the first day, I remember my whole body ached. I wanted to quit and give up. By the second day, I found myself crawling from kernel hole to kernel hole, cursing my decision to join the trip. Friends, this is where I think partnership with Jesus is so important, and it has to intersect our lives. When we choose to serve without partnering with Christ, serving at its best becomes self-gratifying. At its worst, it's an obligation, and we're left feeling like we are being taken advantage of. However, when we partner with Christ in serving, it's transformed from an obligation to a privilege, a way to love others and to partner with Jesus in his mission to reconcile all things to himself. The model that Jesus gives us for serving isn't oriented around the task. It's focused much more broadly on the purpose. What Jesus is doing is far less important than who or why. According to Jesus, to serve someone is to love them. It's the practical action of reconciling what's been lost and forgotten to God. Who doesn't lose or forget his people? And friends, that's God's ultimate purpose, to reconcile all things to himself for his glory. He chooses people like you and people like me to participate in that mission through serving. In Philippians 2, Paul reflects on the mindset of Christ that is exemplified through this scene in John with his disciples. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, Paul says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. The beautiful thing here in what we believe is that Jesus draws near to us and then invites us to participate with him in his ministry of reconciliation. It begins with us receiving God's invitation into that partnership. You don't have to serve to become a Christian or gain salvation, but you can be pretty certain that it's nearly impossible to mature or grow as one without serving. The opportunity that Jesus gives us is to lay aside our position, our power, sometimes even that grand purpose that we feel, for the benefit of somebody else. To love them with what we've been given, to receive his own act of service in our life, and then to live as he would live in the acts of service that we participate in. At Living Waters, we celebrate serving because we've experienced the humility and selflessness of Jesus washing our feet, and we continue to receive from his generous serving of us. Today, I want to invite you, set aside some time to let Jesus serve you. Then, and only after that, ask him to show you where you need to receive his love so that you can better partner with him in building his kingdom. Maybe it's here at Living Waters, or maybe it's in your marriage, serving your spouse. Perhaps it's in serving your kids or an extended member of your family. Maybe it's at your workplace or your school. Wherever it is, whether it's washing feet, planting corn, or something else entirely, serving with Jesus' perspective, it changes everything. What it does is it invites people into the story
of Jesus.
Hello. I'm excited to be sharing with you today a bit about serving. And the title of my sermon is Serving as Our Witness. I like to begin with a story about my experience of what serving looked like and felt like before I even knew what serving meant or what it was about. As a youth who didn't grow up in the church, I still remember my first experience of a church gathering at 15 years old. I remember coming through the doors and being greeted by a warm elderly couple who handed me a bulletin and welcomed me. I remember peering into the room and saw a friend from my high school who had invited me. He ran over and excitedly showed me where we would be sitting that day. He had saved a spot for me. And as we waited for the service to start, people would come over and introduce themselves to me and greeted me warmly. Then someone would go up and share about the upcoming events and news of the church and invite us to stand and join in worship. A small band would go on the stage and begin playing some music, and someone with a PowerPoint in the back would put the lyrics on the screen. Afterwards, an elderly gentleman went up and shared a message that he had prepared from the Bible, and it was encouraging, but also challenged my way of thinking and how I ought to live. After the service, we'd go downstairs to a fellowship hall where some people had prepared coffee and snacks for us to enjoy. I remember that day, I must have stayed for about an hour at church, just chatting with people and getting to know them. As I was going home, I remember reflecting about how different church was than anything I'd ever experienced. How nice people were to me and how nice they were to each other. It was kind of weird, to be honest. At 15, I didn't know it or realize it at the time. But as I was being served by this community through many ways, through the greeting, through the music, the preaching, the coffee, the hospitality, and eventually their youth ministry, I was experiencing the love of God. Perhaps no passage summed this up for me better than from John 13, verses 34 to 35, which says, "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." I remember reading this verse and coming to the realization that this was what I was experiencing. People loving one another and loving me because they were followers of Jesus. Their serve was a witness to me and each other that Jesus had done something in their lives. Their serve was a witness to what had happened inward. And their serve was a response to the love that Jesus had shown them. And so as I was served, I came to experience that love of God. And as a result, came to know Jesus, came to accept Jesus into my life. In turn, I then also began loving and serving other people in the same way. See, when we serve together in community, we are witnessing to one another. Serving reminds us, it inspires us, and it encourages us of the continual transformation, the continual transforming work of Jesus in our lives. And we need that reminder. I know I need that reminder, and maybe you need that reminder today. Furthermore, when you serve, you're not just witnessing to believers in Jesus, but also to all those around, those who don't believe, people who are watching, visitors who are coming through the doors, people that you know in your life, community members, and beyond. Your serve has a real impact and makes a real difference in the life of the community, but it also lives out the church's calling to be a light to the world, to show the love and to share the message of Jesus to the world. Yes, we can proclaim the gospel with our words, but perhaps it is truly embodied through our love for and serving of one another. Today, I want you to consider how when you serve, you are a witness to all those around you. How when you serve, you're not simply helping out or volunteering or doing good things. Rather, when you serve, there's so much more, that there is a spiritual narrative to it, that others will experience what God has done in your life through your serving, and that is your witness. It means that there's more to being just a friendly face at the door on the way in. It's more than musicians and vocalists being on stage singing songs. It's more than our children's and youth ministry just meeting and it being a drop-in program or childcare. It means that the initiatives and programs that we are involved in the community are more than just good charity work. We as Christians and as a church aren't just good people who are doing good things because we are good. There is more. We love and we serve because Jesus first loved us and served us. If you're hearing this and you aren't currently serving, I'd ask you to consider it. Serving makes a real difference and has a real impact. Even something like greeting at the door, making coffee, holding a baby in the nursery, volunteering with our local work team. And really, it's not about growing the size of our teams at all. But rather, it's about how serving is an integral part of our Christian witness to others. If you're currently serving, I want to say thank you and encourage you in your witness to all of us in the community, as well as those outside of our community. You are sharing the message of Jesus, not just with your words, but with your actions. And we truly embody the hands and feet of God through serving one another. Lastly, if you're perhaps tired of serving or burnt out or weary, as Kyle mentioned, I hope you don't feel like you need to serve out of obligation. And I hope it isn't just out of self-gratification that you're serving. Perhaps it is a season of spending time with the Lord and letting Him wash your feet and eventually discerning how, when, and who to serve again when the season is right. There will always be seasons of rest and seasons of toil, but I don't want to downplay that your serve and your witness makes a difference, as we are all uniquely gifted and equipped to serve in our own way. This past fall, I had a chance to participate in English Conversation Club. It's this program we run where over 20 volunteers from Living Waters serve over 40 people. It was an amazing time of conversations, cultural sharing, and food. However, what was probably the most amazing thing to me was that there were people not participating in the program who were interested and curious as to what we were doing, what was going on. They would walk by and ask, and we would share with them. And what drew these people was never the high-quality resources that we used or the amazing food or how nice the tables were set up. Rather, I believe what draw them is that they saw and experienced the Spirit of God and the love of God on full display through His people serving one another. This led to many conversations about joining in on future sessions and the beginning of relationships that would continue onward. The way you serve and the reason you serve is a witness to all in our community and outside of our community. Know that your serve has an impact and makes a difference as you testify to the transforming love of God in your life. It made a difference in my life when I was 15. It continues to do so through our community. And it will make a difference to all those around you.
Hello, everyone. I'm excited to be sharing with you today. Let me start with a question. Have you ever encountered someone in need and felt a deep internal nudge to step in and help? That feeling, that stirring within, is what I want to talk about today. Let's begin with a quick word study. The word is splanknetsomai. Let's say it together. Splanknetsomai. It's a powerful Greek word that takes compassion to a deeper level. It literally means to be moved in one's bowels. In first century thought, the bowels were considered the seat of deep emotion like love and pity, what we often associate with the heart today. But splanknetsomai is more than a passing feeling. It's a gut-level response, an internal stirring so profound that it compels us to act. It's a verb, an action word, that shows true compassion doesn't stop at feeling, but moves into doing. Now, this word appears 12 times in the New Testament, most often describing Jesus. It conveys His deep, visceral response to people's pain, need, or spiritual lostness. One example of this is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verse 29 to 34. It says, As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and they told them to be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Now, when I read this interaction between Jesus and the two blind men, this is what I learn about compassion. One, compassion begins with seeing people and their needs. In first century Jewish society, blindness was seen as a divine punishment for sin, leading to marginalization and exclusion. The blind were labeled unclean, forced to beg, and relied on others' mercy to survive. Although Jewish law encouraged compassion, societal attitudes often fell short. The crowd's reaction to the blind men crying out to Jesus reflects this attitude. They saw them as interruptions, unworthy of Jesus' attention, but not Jesus. Where the crowd saw inconveniences and burdens, Jesus saw human beings. He didn't just glance past them as so many had done before this moment. He stopped, turned, and truly saw the blind men, not as burdens, but as individuals made in God's image and deeply loved by him. How often do we glance past people in need, dismissing them as inconveniences and failing to see them as God's beloved, created in his image? See, true compassion begins with intentionally seeing others, recognizing their worth, and in understanding their needs. Compassion means choosing to feel. This is where the powerful Greek word splanknizomai stands out. See, in that moment, Jesus didn't just acknowledge their condition, he felt it deeply, with compassion that resonated from the core of his being. Splanknizomai has been described as a word that hurts. Now, pain is something that we often try to avoid, but this is different. It's actually a pain that we choose to feel. It's the deep ache that compels us to act, driving us to respond to the needs of others. Yet it also is a pain that we can choose to ignore, hardening our hearts to the suffering around us. See, true compassion requires allowing ourselves to feel the weight of others' needs. Finally, compassion leads to action. Jesus' response didn't stop at emotion. It moved him to act. He stopped, acknowledged the blind men, spoke to them, and healed their eyes with a touch. His compassion translated into a tangible action, showing us that true compassion doesn't just feel, it moves. See, true compassion naturally flows into action. When we truly see and feel the needs of others, serving them becomes the inevitable next step. It's not done out of obligation or but rather out of a natural outpouring of a heart that's aligned with God's love. See, Jesus' life and ministry were defined by this rhythm of compassion and service. Time and again, he acted out of his splanknizomai, that deep gut-level compassion, and calls us to follow his example. True compassion bridges the gap between feeling and doing, inspiring us to respond to the needs around us with both empathy and action. About 3 years ago, I was at a local high school during lunchtime, just hanging out with a few students in the youth room. One day as I walked toward the room, I noticed a girl sitting alone at her locker, just eating her lunch. I instantly felt her loneliness and sensed the Holy Spirit prompting me to go and talk to her. Now, at first, I hesitated. I almost ignored the feeling, thinking she might prefer being alone. but the feeling inside of me only grew stronger. 2 weeks later, I introduced myself and I began sitting with her at lunch, eventually inviting her to join me in the youth room where other students her age gathered. One day she decided to join us. Soon she connected with others, and now she's formed a great group of friends. A year later, she gave me this little clay slug that she had made me, which I proudly display in my house. It serves as a reminder of what can happen when I listen to the Holy Spirit's prompting, or as I sometimes jokingly call it, my bowels. It also reminds me to pray for her. Compassion, when we choose to feel it, naturally leads to service, be it through prayer, offering support during someone's time of need, or taking tangible actions. When I reflect on Jesus and his splunknitsomai, I'm inspired. But I'm also inspired by many in our community who embody the same compassion through their willingness to see people, feel their needs, and serve. Individuals like Gord Mooney, Cheryl Simpson, TJ Kim, and Marsha Wilson are just a few shining examples of this. I encourage you all, if you have time, to take some time to connect with them. Learn about their ministries that they're involved in and hear the stories behind their service. I really believe that you will walk away inspired and uplifted too. Church, let us follow Jesus's example by choosing to see people, feel their needs, and take action. Compassion was central to Jesus's ministry. Let it define ours as well.
Well, now that we've heard those reflections on serving, the encouragement as we close our time today is to ask the question, what did we hear? What did we hear? What were we inspired by? What was stirred up in us through the reading of Scripture, through the stories that were shared? What is the Lord saying to us uniquely on this day about what it means to be served by him and to serve and to do that in community together? Just to encourage you this week to look at who Jesus really is and the centrality of what it means to understand that we follow the one who serves and that we serve as well. What does that mean for understanding Jesus, for understanding ourselves? And what is he calling us into uniquely this very year, this beginning of 2025? Let me pray as we conclude. Jesus, we thank you that you serve us with such love, humility, and sacrifice. And we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit and empower us, enliven us, and inspire us to live and serve like you do. Lord, we thank you for the gift of service, what it gives to the world and what it gives to us. Let us walk in humility. Let us be like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.